All right. Amen. I don't know if anyone's new tonight, but we've been studying flyers that we have written, I have written, and printed up in our printing ministry over the years. We're getting towards the end of them here. This is about the last one we're going to cover, and maybe go on to a new subject on Wednesday nights. This one is entitled, What, Me, Lascivious? And we're going to try to answer that question tonight. I'm going to try to be sensitive to this subject this evening. Watch my words, but I hope that it will be helpful to all of you as we discuss this subject. And what in the world does this word mean? All right. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 14. This is not in the flyer, but 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 14 and 15. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Notice the Bible says, if we are to be obedient children of God, we should not fashion ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. Notice on the front of the flyer at the bottom, there's a little paragraph that says that this flyer is especially for adult and teen ladies. This Bible-based message is designed to fight ignorance and lead to repentance. We can see that the world will fashion us a certain way if we are ignorant. And that happens a lot in this day and age. A lot of young ladies have been fashioned a certain way in their demeanor, the way they carry themselves in their ignorance, because nobody has ever given them an alternative. And the world has just bashed in their brains with this idea of lasciviousness, which you probably don't know what that means right now, but you will by the end of this study tonight. This week I gave this flyer to Kaylee, our secretary, and I said I want to do this one Wednesday night. It's about the last one left, and she reworks and does a great job with all the printing ministry, and I made a few changes here and there and so on and so forth. And so I was talking to her about that Tuesday. And then after that, she came over and she said that there was a lady on the phone wanted to talk to me. She didn't know who it was, didn't know what it was about. I said, okay, I'll take it. And it was a lady from Tennessee, a lady named Betty. And she introduced herself and she said to me, did you by any chance write a pink flyer one time on the subject of what, me, lascivious? Are you the Pastor Cole that wrote this? And I said, yes. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, what, you know, because once in a while you get those, you know, this definitely offends some people. All right, let's just put that way. This definitely offends some people. And I thought, oh my. I said, yes, I did write that, and I was just kind of getting my guard up. Didn't know what was going to happen. And she said, she was from Tennessee, and she said about 6 years ago she attended a Bill Listlin revival meeting. And Bill Listlin is an evangelist friend of our church that we support, and he takes my literature and books everywhere he goes, every church, and lays them out for people to take, and it's a blessing. Brother Bill's been a blessing to our church because of that. She said 6 years ago she picked up this flyer, and she said nobody had ever shown her about this before in her life, and it changed her life, completely changed her life. She's completely dedicated to the Lord now. She said last year she took a short-term missions trip to Honduras for 3 months. Well, she was in Honduras for 3 months at a big church in Honduras, and they have a Christian school where 500 girls, I believe she told me, 500 girls come from different churches around Honduras to school all week long, then go back to their homes and churches in the weekends. pastor, while she was there, asked her, would you like to, while you're here sometime, teach all the girls in an assembly some lesson or something? She said yes, and she couldn't figure out what to teach, and she went back to her room, and in her Bible was this flyer right here. She went up to the pastor and said, what do you think about this? And he thinks, I think that'd be great for these girls to hear that. And so she translated it into Spanish. And then she taught it to the 500 girls and printed them off. The 500 girls got so excited about it because they never heard anything about it, they asked for this flyer so they could take it back to their churches and show their pastors and their churches about this truth. And she said to me something like this, and I don't know if I'm getting all the details of the story yesterday on the phone correctly, but just bless my heart, about our printing ministry and about the power of the printed page and how it can go places you and I will never go and help people we never will never meet. Just blessing my heart. And she said, you know, this little flyer here has been a real relief to me and a lot of girls that I've taught, because there are some girls in this world who want to know that there is an alternative to the way the world is teaching them to act and the way the world is teaching them to dress, and they can live a different life. This is what the Bible is saying in verse number 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And so we are fighting ignorance with the printed page. And I'm so glad that blessed my heart, and I hope there's a whole lot of other ladies too that have been helped by it. Now, I'm going to warn you this night, this flyer is about as blunt as anything that I've ever written about a woman's behavior. But I have noticed in my life that the devil also is very blunt in his message to women and to girls. He has absolutely no respect for them or their age. Satan is very open. Satan is very filthy. Satan is very wicked. He's very perverted. He has no regard for your little girls. He has no regard for your morals. He has no regard for your convictions. But he tries to ram his filth down the throat of every little girl in our country at every turn possible, as young as he possibly can. While I was out shopping, I made notice of this back Christmas time. I don't go shopping except about Christmas time. Whether you go to Kohl's, whether you go to Macy's, whether you go to Walmart, whether you go to Sears, whether you go to JCPenney, or wherever you may go, guess what the largest color pictures are in every single store without exception? Scantily clad women in underwear and lingerie on the walls. He has no regard for your little girls whatsoever, no matter where you take them. When you go through the checkouts, guess what you see on the magazine covers at the eye level of every little boy that has to walk through the place? TV commercials, internet sites, billboards, television shows, movie actors, television actors, music videos, it's all the same. It is what the Bible calls lasciviousness. That's what the word means. And everything about this world is designed to ram it down the throats of every single little girl in the country, so that as she grows, she is just infiltrated. Her mind is infiltrated with this kind of behavior. And females are portrayed this way. And so I hope tonight that we will be able to look at the scriptures and learn what this word means and lay out for you ladies and you girls an alternative to what the world is trying to get you to become. Now let's look at the flyer on the inside. Notice the word lasciviousness. Three things about it by way of introduction. Number one, it is a Bible word. It is a Bible word. It appears in the New Testament 6 times, and it was used by Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, and Jude. It's a Bible word. Number two, it's a big word. It's 14 letters long. Years ago, I think it was back in the year 2000, 2001, I don't remember, I did a study. A few of you were here at the time. It was called Big Words in the Bible. And I just took these huge long words, sanctification, justification, propitiation, whatever it was, any word that was real long or big, and I just taught a lesson on it. And one of those words was lasciviousness. And when I came across that one, I said, I don't know what this means. And I had to study it out myself. And I see that it is a very prominent problem in our world today. It's a Bible word, it's a big word, and it's a bad word. It is spoken of with great condemnation in the Word of God. The Bible speaks very sharply against lasciviousness. Today, many women professing to be believers in the Lord are carrying themselves in a lascivious way, mostly by ignorance. Over 2,000 years ago, believing women fell into the same trap. Notice what happened as described in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 10, as the Apostle Paul writes. He says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, that means with the ability to blush, and sobriety, that means having their senses, being sane, not being dizzy, not being delusional, not being boy crazy, or not being man crazy. That's what the word sobriety is referring to. Not with broided hair or gold or pearl or costly array, but, now notice the parentheses, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now notice that parentheses. These ladies were professing godliness but not practicing it. Their clothing and jewelry was not pleasing to God. The ways of the women of the world back then were slowly infiltrating the church, and Paul was warning the young pastor Timothy about it. Well, some things never change. All women, every generation, must be on guard about the women of the world and their practices and how it can infiltrate your mind and your behavior and then thus infiltrate the church. Now, what is lasciviousness? According to Webster's dictionary, lasciviousness means loose, wanton, lewd, lustful, a tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. That's one dictionary. According to another one, the Barnhart and Thorndike dictionary, it is simply defined as feeling lust, showing lust, or causing lust. Now, it's a big 14-letter word, but it can be narrowed down to the word we more commonly hear today, and that is the word sexy. Being sexy or trying to be sexy is a sin, as we are going to see when we get to the verses on the back of this flyer. It is a sin. We are not taught to be sexy, but, quote, holy, both in body and in spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Amen? Be holy both in body, that's physically, outwardly, and in spirit, that's mentally and emotionally or inwardly. Men and women are supposed to be holy on the outside and holy on the inside. And after our conversion to Christ, we saw in our text today, 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I just want to interject right here. Some of you that maybe are new in the Lord and new to the Bible, you might be thinking right now, boy, if I live a holy life, I will never be happy again. I will never smile again. I will never laugh again. I will never have a good time again. You are so wrong, it isn't even funny. You wouldn't believe what a blast and what an adventure it is to live by faith and to walk with God. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And some of us who came out of the world and began to follow Christ, we are having such a better time today as we walk with Christ and follow a holy God than we ever had when we were living in the sin of this world. Ever. We're happier, we have more joy, we have more peace, and it's just an adventure to see what God's going to do next in your life. And so be holy, the Bible says. Now, marriage is the place for physical intimacy. Showing or causing lust outside of marriage is wrong. It is lascivious. Women and teen ladies must realize that their anatomy can cause lust in men. By dressing incorrectly or immodestly, a woman can trigger lustful thoughts in a man. Now, this is taught to us in the Bible. And it's right from the start of the Bible. As we read the scriptures, I have a new book that I've written here. I haven't quite printed it yet, but it will be soon. There's still a few changes and additions. It's called Making Sense Out of Modesty. Why does the Bible say women should wear modest apparel? This is a good argument right here. Just line upon line, common sense stuff of why should we dress modestly as women and men. I got a chapter in here called The First Issue. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is the fall of man in Genesis 3 and verse 6. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it to her husband, and he did eat. That's Genesis 3, 6. What was the first issue after man's sin that affected him? The next verse says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And from that moment on, man has had a problem with nakedness. Genesis 3, 7. Genesis 3, 7. They saw that their eyes were open. Now, who had promised them that their eyes would be open previous to that? The devil. The devil said, if you eat this fruit right here that God is forbidding you to eat, your eyes will be open, and you will become as gods, and you'll know good from evil. And boy, their eyes were open all right, weren't they? Their eyes, and man's had an eye problem ever since. Proverbs 27:20, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Ecclesiastes 1:8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery. Exodus 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Genesis 6:2, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Genesis 6:2. 2 Samuel 11:2, 4, and 5, and it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. 1 John 2:15, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's worldly. Sounds like God wants us to get the point. Man has problems with his eyes. Now, for women who cannot understand that, then just accept the Bible by faith. Just accept what God is saying by faith. Somebody told me last week about a pastor who had to resign his ministry because of his addiction to pornography. Man had a doctor's degree in theology. Man was a master of Greek and Hebrew. He couldn't control his own eyes. He's finished. So the next question is, what's the big deal? I think it's a real big deal. Why was women made in the first place? God said, I will make an help meet for him. God made Eve so that she could be a help to Adam. Was she a help? No, she destroyed him. She destroyed him. How? By her sin. By her behavior. She was made for man. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 8 through 9, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The Bible says the woman was created for the man. Man was made to be holy. Man was made to worship God, to take care of God's work, and to give God pleasure. Women are to help men do all of this. The main reason why God made women was so that they could continue to help their man have a close relationship with God. She was to help him be spiritual, not sensual. That's why women were made, to help men be spiritual, not sensual. But that was perverted when man sinned. And when man sinned, his mind snapped, and he was never the same towards women again. Never the same. Since the sexual revolution blossomed in the 1960s, our country has slid down a deep decline into a moral abyss, characterized by nakedness and nudity. First time ever in history, known history, that a woman appeared topless in a movie, 1958, at the Cannes movie festival in France. So it's not like it's something that's always been around. The amount of nudity and nakedness we see today, which is so compounded by the advancement in technology, electronic technology, imaging. Immodest clothing and a sexy demeanor have become the normal of women today. What's the result? In 1960, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta reported 5 major sexually transmitted diseases in America. In 1990, they reported 30. Some of these are incurable and fatal. I know some of these people. Some are in our church. They've told me about their diseases that they contracted from their promiscuous behavior in their past. Now, these statistics are old. I wrote this over 10 years ago, but I'm sure they haven't changed a whole lot since. No one can tell outwardly who has these diseases. A very handsome, muscular young man could be loaded with disease. A very attractive young lady could be diseased. 60% of all teens say they have fornicated by the age of 18. Almost 1.5 million teen girls become pregnant every year. Half of these teen girls abort their babies. 97% of single mothers live in poverty the rest of their lives. Not many of them find a good man who wants to marry them. Now here is one of the saddest facts. 1 out of 3 teen girls who becomes pregnant is impregnated by an adult male. Just let that soak in. That's illegal, by the way. What does this teach us? Adult men can be stimulated by teen girls. It's horrific. And that's one of the great arguments. The American Psychiatric, where are they? Are they? There's 170 of them. They just voted 170-0 that it is okay for adults to be sexually attracted to children. These are the psychiatrists in the American Psychiatry. And this is the same bunch that back in the 70s began to promote the idea that homosexuality is normal. And now they're starting with pedophilia. And they want to erase the word pedophilia from the American vocabulary. It is atrocious the way teen girls dress today. It is not uncommon to see them with tight shorts, bare legs, bare midriffs, bare shoulders, and low-cut tops. This causes lust. This is lasciviousness. Most teen girls do not have a clue of what today's fashions do to men. Men are instructed, as we read earlier, lust not after her beauty and thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. The psychiatrists are using this to prove their point. Why shouldn't pedophilia be legal? Look at all the adult men with teen girls. It's a natural attraction they're trying to use. And, of course, they go on to men with boys. So it's a natural attraction. Why are you trying to do something that's against nature? I'm telling you, they just came out with it last year. This is a difficult command for men to obey today. Men are overstimulated today by lasciviousness. It seems that everywhere a man turns, there is an improperly dressed woman or a picture of an improperly dressed woman. No Christian woman should dress, look, or act in a lascivious way. Now, what do the scriptures say? In Mark 7, Jesus said this, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, lasciviousness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's called evil. And that man is called defiled. Jesus said so. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. Lascivious people are described as being past feeling. They just don't care. Some ladies who say they are believers in the Lord have no shame, guilt, or conviction about dressing or acting improperly. Are they past feeling? I've met them. I've seen them in churches. I've seen them out at fair booths where they come up dressed in a lascivious way and say, oh, I'm a born-again Christian. But they're past feeling. One of the problems we have in the church today is we get our doctrine from our Bible and our behavior from the world. When we should get our behavior from the Bible and what it says here. Galatians 5 says now in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Lasciviousness is a work of the flesh that could cause a person to lose some or all of their eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 4:2-3. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Now notice this is described here as in our times past. Before we were saved, this we were this way, but not after we're saved. Not after we're saved. Go to the back now. 2 Corinthians 12:21. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Notice we are expected to repent of lasciviousness. We're not supposed to smirk about it. We're not supposed to joke about it, laugh about it, think it's neat or keen or cool. We're supposed to repent of it. It is a sin. Lasciviousness is just simply showing lust or causing lust. It causes people to be carnal, fleshly, and worldly minded. Life is too short to waste it on lust. Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Romans 8 we see, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And you would not believe the necessity for a message like this in this day and age. It's worse than it's ever been before. And the catalysts for lasciviousness are greater than they've ever been before. I had a man this week lament to me that despite all the best filters he can possibly put on his computer, there's still filth and garbage that gets around it. You can't get rid of all of it. I appreciate his honesty. What? Me lasciviousness? I don't even know what the word means. And shows a lady on the front here kind of holding her head. Well, we know what it means tonight. And we want to fight ignorance with the Bible. I know this is a sensitive subject. I don't know if I've written it sensitively enough. Or said it sensitively enough. I just know that the devil is going to try to bash this down the brains of your little girls. And he won't care if they're 1 or 2 or 3 years old. Just going shopping with mommy. He could care less about you. He could care less about your little girls. He could care less about your convictions or your standards. Or what God expects about holiness. And every single one of us needs to take this very, very seriously. We are not here on this earth for this little short time to try to promote sensuality, but to promote spirituality. And one of the most difficult things, especially with men, that they're having to be spiritual, to have the power of God on their lives, is that this constant battle with their flesh that is fed by this wicked atmosphere of this world. And almost every single man I know who wants to be spiritual has to battle this, has to battle through it. So ladies, are you going to be a helper or a hinderer? You're going to help men be spiritual or are you going to hinder them being spiritual? I like what Betty said on the phone yesterday. She said, you know, there's just a lot of girls out there that would love to be presented with a different alternative than what they are taught on television, what they see at school every day, what they see on the college campuses and in the magazines, but nobody ever tells them there's another alternative. And what a superior life a young lady will live if she'll choose spirituality over sensuality. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. It's talking about the virtuous woman in this chapter. Great, great chapter for women, and what a blessing women can be to the world. In Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible says in verse 30, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate." Notice what verse 30 is saying. Basically, it's saying sensuality is vain, but spirituality will be praised. Favor is deceitful. You know what that word favor means, girls? It means that desire for you to be popular. Favor means the desire that a girl has. She wants to be popular. She wants. Listen, girls, you do not have to judge your value based on the attention that boys give you. That is not what makes you valuable, whether boys look at you or not. What makes you valuable is that Christ died for your sins on the cross. He thought you were worth going to the cross to die for. That is the standard of your value. The standard of your value doesn't have to be whether you have a boyfriend or not, or whether you date or not, or how many boys you've been with. That's not the standard. The standard is, what does God think about you? And you can have a different life. You do not have to be lascivious. You do not have to follow this pursuit to be sexy, to be attractive, to have attention from boys and men, as though that's some kind of a crowning achievement. That will get you into a lot of trouble. That will get you into situations maybe you can't get out of, that will cause you to go farther than you ought to go, and many times will lead to life-altering experiences such as disease and pregnancy. And your whole life will be altered from that time on. But you can change the way you think. It's called repentance. It's when the Holy Ghost changes the way you think. And you start to say, you know, my value is not whether or not I'm noticed by boys or men, but my value is based on the fact that God loves me. Jesus cares about me, and He does have a plan for my life, a will for my life. And even in His will, it might be to bring a good man into your life and have a wonderful, wonderful marriage afterwards. I want to encourage you ladies, adult ladies, don't be a hinderer. Don't dress in a fleshly, carnal way that's going to cause men to stumble. And not just in church. I'm talking about outside of church, too. Amen? Outside of church. I mean, listen, there doesn't have to be a choice. But if a woman chooses to be immodest in her dress, if she had a choice between being immodest in church or in the world, I would suggest she be immodest in church, because at least there's some men trying to be spiritual. Because there's dead sure a whole lot of ungodly men out in the world who would be affected by your immodesty. At least in the church, there'd be some men trying to be spiritual and say, well, I'll just ignore her. But not out there. Not that I'm saying you should be immodest anywhere. But you're going to give an account to God someday for the things that you have done in your body. And we need to be careful. The Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Romans 8 and verse 7. Genesis 6 and verse 5 says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 8:21, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Those boys don't love you. They've got evil imaginations in their heart from their youth. From their youth. And you cannot feed that by being lascivious in your demeanor, in your actions, your behavior, your talk, the songs you sing, and the way you dress. I'm glad that sometimes there are some ladies that just love the Lord so much that when they're taught something, they yield and submit themselves to what God says. I hope this flyer gets a good reading, because it's about the only time you're ever going to hear it, unless you got a good dad or good mom. It's pretty rare you ever hear a message about it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us, dear Lord, to understand what the word lascivious means and to also know. If There's only one thing a believer in Christ can do with it, and that's repent of it. None of us should carry ourselves about in a sensual way, ever, or dress in a sensual way, or behave, or listen to that kind of music, or hang around with that kind of a crowd. And Lord, there are people dying all over our country today because of diseases that they've contracted because of sin they committed that was triggered by lasciviousness. Lord, none of us will want that on our account when we stand before the Lord. So help us all to dress modestly, both men and women, to carry ourselves modestly, to be shamefaced and sober, and to let as many girls know that they can be free from that slavery to sin. They can be free from that spirit of the world that is just trying to destroy them, that they don't have to be that way. There is a God in heaven and a church on earth that will accept them and receive them if they'll be pure and holy and virgins and chaste and modest. Lord, help us, we pray. Oh God, make a difference in some lives tonight. And anyone that ever watches this or reads this flyer, give it a good reading. We pray it would help a lot of people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to page